Last week, after the church service, the board members were praying in my office. And we were praying for the church. We were praying for what God wants us to do. And I came in and I called Pastor Paul. Pastor Paul is the church of the Korean church that comes here and worship in the afternoon. The first time I met him and I heard his story, it touched my heart. God called him out from Oakland and brought him down here. They sold all their business and they came down here. And when they started the church, there were two people. And they were praying and saying, "Lord, what is this? What are you going to do? Why do you want us to be here?" His wife wanted to go back. But God told Pastor Paul that, "I want you to be faithful to these two people. Even if they're just only two, I want you to give all your time and disciple them. Teach them the word of God." So he stayed. Do you know that he comes here every morning at 6 a.m. every day and pray for our church and his church? He comes here, and we're not talking about 1 year. You're talking about more than 5 years now. He's been coming here every day and praying for his church and our church. Today, he has 15 people in his church, 15 members. And these are, by the way, all of them were non-Christians before. So all these 15s have come to know the Lord. If he had not stayed for 5 more years, then the other 13 people wouldn't have been saved. It's not about numbers, my friends. It's about one soul at a time. Don't get carried away by big numbers. But look at what is meaningful. Who is engaging? What is not engaging? See, today we want to look at the Creator God, who is also the Covenant God. We look at the covenant that he has made in the first 5 books. And we look at Jesus fulfilling as the prophet, priest, and king, even in the 5 books. And today we want to look at how the Creator God fulfilled his covenant, because Moses have died. Moses, the leader of Israel, have died, and they're out there in the wilderness. They haven't reached the promised land. Just imagine what the people will be feeling. Our leader is gone. The one who took us across the Red Sea, the one who gave us water out of the rock, we were able to eat the food from heaven. This leader who gave the commandment to us, walking down from the mountain, coming down with the command, he is finally gone. The one who talks to God is gone. Just imagine what they would be feeling at that time. And then God said to Joshua, "Be strong and of good courage. For to these people you shall divide the inheritance, the land which I swore to your fathers to give to them." God has promised Abraham that they would go into the promised land. And now he is telling Joshua that, "I will make this happen. I will make this happen." When you look at the former prophets, it starts from Joshua. The book of Joshua, it starts from Joshua. What can we learn as we study the Word of God, as we study the Bible? What we can learn from Joshua is that if we are faithful to God, he will take us to the place that he promised us. Remember, this morning, we may be forgetful, but God is always faithful. God never forgets. See, we may forget, but God never forgets. Whatever he has promised, he said he will do for you, he will do it for you. And in the story of Joshua, we can see that Joshua led Israelites into the promised land, right? Just as Joshua led Israelite into the promised land, Jesus will lead us into heaven. You can see the correlation there. The people were able to find rest in the land that God has provided. One of these days, our Lord Jesus Christ is going to come and lead us into the land that He has provided, into the place that He has prepared for us. So, when you look at the Joshua of the covenant and the blessing, one thing we learn is that God delivered His people from their enemies. God delivered His people from their enemies. In Joshua 6, verse 2, see, I have given into your hand Jericho. See, I have delivered them into your hand. The battle belongs to the Lord. God has delivered His enemy into His hand. It wasn't Joshua that fought the battle. We think that Joshua is a great military commander, but it was God who delivered the enemies. What did they do in Jericho? Did they raise a sword? Did they kill anybody? Maybe at the end when the wall fell down. But before that, what did they do? All they had to do was walk around the wall 7 times. They did nothing. It's a ridiculous warfare strategy. I mean, the commander is saying, I got great plans. Yes, what are we going to do? And just imagine, this is a newly anointed leader. Okay? And they're saying, what are we going to do? Oh, we're going to walk that wall 7 times. It's like, what is he thinking? You know? Does he know what he is doing? Even in the church, when we have new leadership changes, we look at the pastor that has done well in the past and say, can he fill his shoe? Let's see where he will take us. And we sit on the fence and watch what he's going to do. You know? But it's not about the pastor. The church belongs to God. It's His church. He's the one who is doing the work for us. It's not the pastor. We look at God, not at the pastor. It wasn't Joshua that won the battle. It was God that won the battle for him. He delivered the enemies. And he took them into promised land. The promised land. Joshua 11:23. God took his people into the promised land. So Joshua took the whole land according to all the Lord has said to Moses. He was able. It wasn't Moses that took Israelite into the promised land. It was Joshua that took them into the promised land. I want you to stay with me this morning, because we are doing Route 66. I want to talk about the former prophets, so you will know why the word of God is written there. Why the book of Joshua is there. Why the book of Judges, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Samuel. That's what I want to talk about today. Right? So stay with me here. Because God took his people into the promised land. And then God divides the land as their inheritance. In Joshua 21:43. So the Lord gave Israel all the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers. Big things. A lot of battles were won, if you read Joshua. Many battles were won, even before they came up to Jericho. Okay? God had won the battle for them. So they won Jericho. Now, next, what comes? Ai, right? There's a small nation. They're going to go fight this small nation. So, what did Joshua do? He said, okay, I'm going to send 300 strong men and they'll be able to take care of it. See, now? Because they got Jericho. Right? So, Joshua sent these 300 men to take care of Ai. And what happened? 36 people were just slain by the... And the fear came into their heart. And the soldiers, the army of Joshua, ran back to the camp And the word of God says here is very interesting. The word of God says here in Joshua 7:5, and the man of Ai struck down about 36 men. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. What happened to Jericho? What happened to Jericho there? You see, but if you are faithful to God, what I said is, He will give you the inheritance. He will take you into the promised land. But when there is infidelity, when you disobey and rebel against God, what happens? You go back to, even in the New Testament, the wages of sin is there, Romans 6:23. They had instructed not to take anything out of Jericho. God had given instruction to His people, I don't want you to take anything out of Jericho. But what happened? They were, along with Achan, they took stuff and hid it for themselves and brought it in the camp because they did not listen to God. Right? So what happens when they sin? There's a consequences. There is a consequences of divine punishment. When you obey the Lord, there is divine reward. When you disobey, there is divine punishment. So, the small kingdom put a fear in their heart, and Joshua had to go to the Lord and say, God, what's happening? We're so afraid. Help us, this small nation. God told, you sin against me. You did not listen to me. You get rid of the sins in the camp, and then I'll give you victory. It's the same thing in our life. You want to experience personal victory in your life, in your marriage life, in your financial life, in your work life, in your personal life. You haven't been able to have victory in your life. Do not blame God. Do not look to God and say, God, what's happening? We got to look inside and see, what are we hiding? What sin are we hiding in our heart that is preventing us to live a successful, prosperous Christian life? I will explain about successful and prosperous later on. Okay, I don't want you to get the idea of prosperity gospel. But why are you not living a victorious Christian life? And blame it all to God. God, you did this to me. God, you did this to me. I'm angry with you. You have never been there for me. What about us? Are we hiding something in our camp, in our house, that God is not pleased? It's not only that. In Joshua 9:4, this is very interesting. Again, Gibeon is a neighboring, because when they had encamped there, Gibeon, another neighboring city, what did they do? Because they heard what God had done to Jericho and Ai, the people in Gibeon packed up food and grapes and things like, and they were going on a long journey. Okay? This is like a strategy right out of movie. The entire city, and they came to the camp of Joshua. And you know what they say? Where did you come from? Oh, we came from far away. But we heard what the Lord has done through you. Please receive this food. And what did the people do? Without asking any question, they ate the food. And the Gibeon said to Joshua, please enter into a covenant with us. Right? So they ate the food and they enter into covenant. And what did the word of God say here in Joshua 9:14? Then the man of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. When we are not with God, Satan can easily deceive us. The people of God were deceived, because what did they find later on? That they were just a neighboring city. And since they entered into a covenant with them, they could not attack the people. And Joshua had to say, we have entered into covenant with them. We cannot do anything with them. Satan is a deceiver. If you don't read the word of God and stand in the word of God, we can get off the route 666, not route 66. See? He can deceive us to say, oh, this way is good. I mean, it's a four-way lane. Come on. Why do you travel on this little small lane? There's a lot of traffic here. There's another way to get off. He can deceive us. And you will not see how we are deceived. So that's Joshua. In Joshua, God is faithful. Right? God is faithful. If we do not turn to the left and to the right, and if we walk in the path and obey the commandment of God, then God will take us into our promised land. He will give us the inheritance. That's Joshua. Okay? Be strong and be courageous. Keep my commandment, and I will give you what I promised you. That goes for all of us today. If we do not turn to the right, to the left, and stay focused on God and walk the path that He has chosen for us, you will inherit what God has promised you. That's Joshua. Let's go to Judges. Now, in Judges, it's very interesting because it says in Judges here, in those days, Judges 21:25, in those days there was no king in Israel. All the people did what was right in their own eyes. Just imagine if we live in that kind of ages. Oh, sorry, we are living in that ages now. Right? So we see the pattern of failure here. Three things here. In Judges, this is what we read, the pattern of failures. The first one is, in the pattern of failure, Israelite commit sins against God. And then what happens? God punished the Israelite by sending enemy to oppress them. And they serve the enemy. That's the pattern. Always, when you read from even Old Testament, they sin against the Lord, God sent an enemy to oppress them, and they will serve as slaves to them. You see that in Judges. But there is a pattern of peace and blessing. And this the pattern of peace and blessing is like, Israelite cry to God for forgiveness. God sent a deliverer. Israelite delivered from the enemy. So in Judges, Samson is the last judge. Samson was, you see how he died. Although he was strong, what happened to him? Delilah seduced him. He broke the vow for God. Only in the end, he was in the building and able to kill more people than he had when he was alive on that last day. Right? You see Deborah, the judges. See Obed, Zephthah, those judges. But what happened? Every time they cry, because the enemy comes, they cry, say, Lord, help us. They send a judge, deliver them. But every succession of judge, their moral value was lower than the preceding one. Every year, every reign, their moral value, they, by the end of it, they have forgotten the story of God. Everyone was doing what was right in the sight. Because when we do the latter prophets, you will know, when Ezra came and opened the book, the five books, and read part of the five books, the people cried. And they say, why haven't we heard this? Okay. So the pattern of failure there. Now, so what do we learn from Judges? We learn from Judges, if we want to have peace and blessing that God has promised us, then we do not sin against Him. We do not rebel against Him. Let's go to the book of Samuel, the former prophets. And then I have one more book, right? You still can stay with me? You're alive and awake? Yeah, everyone? Okay, good job. Yes, we can do this. And in Samuel, it says here in 1 Samuel 15:22, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. I will explain this. Obedience and divine reward. Obedience and divine reward. Obedience lead to divine appointment. Okay. 1 Samuel 13:14. The Lord has sought Himself a man after His own heart. What happened is, when Saul was going to go to battle, he was waiting for Samuel to come, and his armies were going away because he had waited and Samuel had not come. So in order to stop the bleeding, Saul just sacrificed, made a sacrifice. The moment he had made the sacrifice, Samuel came. And he said, why did you do this? Why did you do this? And he said, it's because my armies were abandoning. Their hearts were small. They were afraid. I have to do something. You could have waited. And he said to Saul, God will seek after a man of his own heart from today. You will no longer be the commander and king of Israel. Where did that obedience lead to? It led to David. It led to David to have a divine appointment. And when they went to David, the house of Jesse, see, obedience is a condition for divine intervention. 1 Samuel 16:13, the brother Eliab game, you know, Shammah game, see, and say, oh, this guy's big. He must be the one. Yeah, and Samuel's excited. And God said, no, do not look outside. Do not look at the outward appearance. Look in the inside. And when the three brothers have passed, Samuel has to turn to Jesse and say, don't you have another son? Oh, yeah, we have another son who is a shepherd out there taking care of the sheep. So young people, right? Let's give a hand to Mark and Kirsten for taking the youth to the camp. Come on. Yeah. All right. So youth, because David was a youth, can I have your attention for 30 seconds? Right? Remember when David was putting the rock in his sling, and he would use that what? Out there? He would use it to chase away the lions and the bears, maybe, you know? He was out there. He was doing those things. In the end, how did he defeat Goliath? He used that same rock, that sling, that seems to be so useless. I want to tell you this, young people. Do not complain that you're doing things over and again and say, this is so silly. Why am I doing this again and again and again? That might be the thing. That might be the game changer in your life one day. Just like David defeated the giant. The things that you do today that seem so ordinary can give you a moment to do extraordinary things. Okay? I want to share that with you. If you are sleeping the whole time, you can take that home. Right? So, Samuel took the oil and anointed David to become king. But the thing is, disobedience led to divine rejection. God rejected Saul. In the end, it led to death. In the final battle, when the enemy was so big, Saul looked around and he knew that he was going to be defeated. And he said to the armor bearer, kill me, take your sword and kill me. And he said, no, I won't do that. Saul knelt down and he fell on his own sword. He killed himself. On that day, his three sons, his armor bearer, all his men died together on that same day. Why? Because of disobedience. Because of sinning against the Lord. The kingdom was taken. The family was taken. Consequences of sin is death. And I want to talk about the kings. Loyalty and this loyalty and royalty. See, the Lord has sought himself a man after his own heart. So David was the man after his own God's heart. And God chose from the house of a man, you know, David's house. Because the battle between Saul's house and David's house went on for a long time, but the house of David becomes stronger and stronger and stronger, and the Saul's house become weaker and weaker. Because God has chosen a man after his own heart. God favors those who are loyal to him. God favors those who are loyal to him. And this loyalty passed on to Solomon and said, whatever I have made a covenant with your father, I will fulfill it. In fact, you will build the house of the Lord. You will build the house of the Lord. And he did build the house of the Lord. But see, there is a problem with idolatry. Because loyalty brings blessing, but idolatry is a big problem. When Solomon was wise and wealthy and prosperous, what did he do? You know, he married the daughter of Egypt, Pharaoh's daughter. He had so many women, concubines. And he started building worship place in high places for his wives. And God came and said to Solomon, because you disobeyed me, this is what I will do. I will tear the kingdom from you. But I wouldn't do it in your lifetime because out of respect for your father David. So, David was the one who united Judah and Israel. Israel in the north, Judah in the south, and became one kingdom. When Solomon died, right, Israel and Judah was divided. Rehoboam, Jeroboam, they were king that did not serve the Lord. So in the end, what happened? In the end, what happened is the Assyrian came and took Israelite as their captive. Babylonian came and took Judah as their captive. They were exiled. So, let's go back. Let's recap. Okay? Moses took Israelite out of Egypt from slavery into the promised land. Where did they ended up in the former prophets? They ended up in slavery in Babylon and in Assyria. That's the story God's telling. So when we read the books, we have to read with God's story. God's story is, if you obey me, I will bless you. If you rebel against me, you will receive the divine punishment. We see this story in the former prophets. In Kings, Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, and Joshua. So I want to ask this question to you. How can we live a godly, successful, and prosperous Christian life? Okay? We can do that by obeying His commandment, to walk in the path that He has chosen for us, and to live faithfully. Now, I want to explain the meaning prosperous. Prosper meaning. Because you think about money and house and cars and wealth. No, it's more than that. It may be a small part of it. But the big part of to live up, if you keep these things, I will prosper you. That's what God said to Joshua. In fact, that's what David told Solomon. If you keep the word of God, He will prosper you in all your ways. So to prosper means to be prudent, okay? To be circumspect, to think wisely. Wisely understand things, to look at or upon, have insight of your life, to give attention to, consider, to have insight and have comprehension. That's to prosper. There's very little thing about house, cars, and money and bank accounts there. Okay? It means, I want to end with this sentence, we are to act circumspectly, act prudently, act wisely in order to live a prosperous and successful Christian life. So let's recap what we heard today. Okay? Former prophets. In Joshua, if you obey God's word, He will give you your inheritance. If you rebel against the Lord and sin against Him, He will send His enemy to oppress you and you will be slave to him. That is true for us. Because if sin takes over, you are a slave to whom? You are a slave to Satan. Not just the Israelite. Okay. There were 20 kings in 1 and 2 Kings, and they were judged by two things only. Two things only. Okay, these 20 kings were judged by whether they worship only one God and whether they made sacrifice outside Jerusalem. They were evaluated on those two things only. All the kings, including David and Solomon. Did they worship another God? Did they sacrifice outside Jerusalem? They were evaluated. And you find David. Solomon did that, disobeyed the Lord. Question that I want to ask you today is your heart, mind, body, soul all sold out to God 100%, or you're looking at other gods. Here in this city, there are so many things we can worship to. Do you go and worship in other places to other gods? How is your heart evaluated this morning? I want to think about this as we invite the worship team to come up. Can we just take a moment again? We started with 30 seconds. So let's have a 30 seconds moment, and you can say you meditate the Lord for 1 minute this morning. I want you to meditate in your heart and see whether your heart is pulled on so many directions that your loyalty is with not God. There are two roads, two main roads. The road to heaven, to be where God is, and the road to be away from Him, away from His presence. Here we talk about Route 66, the road to the destiny, the journey to heaven, and Route 666, the road that leads away from the presence of God to a place where you'll be eternally tormented, a place we know as hell. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes after the Father except through Jesus. There is only one God, the Creator God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God that came and dwelt on earth through Jesus Christ. If you believe that He is the Son of God, He will give you the right to become His child, His children. You will have a place in heaven, a place that He has prepared, a mansion for you. After the worship, we're going to stand at the well, under the well, in front to pray with you. As you bow your head and pray this morning, and you want to make a do-over, or want to start a fresh start with the Lord Jesus Christ, make that prayer in your heart.